Hello, church family. This is Andrew, and I'll be bringing your word of encouragement and challenge this morning. I want to thank you for listening in from wherever you are listening in. It's important to be continuing to learn and grow and connect. And during this time, this is one of the ways that we can learn and grow. So thank you for listening in. I hope to keep today simple. I have two goals. First, we're going to look at a passage from the book of John and contemplate an amazing truth that Jesus tells his disciples that I believe will comfort us today. Second, we're going to look at a command that flows out from this amazing truth. But I am going to begin today with some bad news. This pandemic has been really hard on a lot of people, and although there have been some loosening of restrictions, it seems like there's really no end in sight. And we will never settle back to how things were, and we'll have to find a new normal at our workplaces, in our churches, at parks and restaurants and barbershops. People are hurting, lonely, divided, scared, feeling disappointed with lost opportunities and financial uncertainties. The list goes on of how this time has caused various sufferings. And you may be there in the thick of it, and you may not be so affected. Regardless, this message is designed to encourage and challenge you this morning. Now, here's some good news. Through all of this, we have the incredible opportunity to take God at His word and know that in this time, we do have a friend that sticks closer than even a brother. We are not alone. We are not hopeless. We are not abandoned. The future is uncertain, but we have certainties we can hold on to during these times. God's word is true, correct? So if God says it, we can trust it, and we should strive to understand it and live it out, correct? With this in mind, let us read our passage today. Jesus is going to speak of the extent of his love for us, and then use that as a model for how we are to relate to one another. We'll be reading from John chapter 15 today. John chapter 15, starting in verse 12, going through verse 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that somebody lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. This passage starts with the command, love one another. But this command has a context that Jesus wants us to understand, a motivation behind the command. So that's where we're going to start. Because he says, love one another as I have loved you. And then goes on to describe what this love looks like. And we need to catch this today. He calls them friends. He's going to tell them why he considers them friends. He's going to show them the surprising extent of his friendship with them, to the point of even dying for them. And then uses that as a model and as the source for us to love one another. Did you catch all that when I read through the verse? Probably not. So let's walk through it together. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. This is pointing to Jesus' love for us, for you and for me. This is the amazing reality. This is the truth. This is the destination to which Jesus is headed in just hours to show us how much he loves for us. Here's the glorious reality we find in God's word. Jesus says, "You are my friends." And later he says it again, I have called you friends. I want to encourage you today. In this turbulent time, Jesus calls you friend. And he invites all of us today to embrace this friendship. I want to highlight today two ways in which we can embrace this friendship that I believe comes through in this passage. There are more than two, for sure, but I want to highlight just two. And before we do, I need to emphasize that this friendship is different, so that we don't misunderstand this truth or misuse this title of friendship. Personally, I have to be honest with you, I get annoyed when people say, "Jesus is my homeboy." I don't know if you've ever heard that, but I'm a youth pastor, and I follow a lot of different youth blog sites and things, and it's a common phrase where people are buddy-buddy with Jesus and say things like, "Jesus is my homeboy." Besides being irreverent, in my opinion, to me it makes this idea of friendship with Jesus that he does invite us into, and it drags Jesus down to be just another one of the gang. Although we can call him friend, he is definitely not just another homeboy. This friendship is not like any other friendship in the entire world. This friendship, this relationship with Jesus, is unlike any other because he is also Creator God. He is risen Savior. He is our reigning King. So that friendship is going to look a little different than your relationship with your earthly BFF. And we will see this coming through in the passage in various ways. God does want us to contemplate the ways in which he calls us into friendship with him. He did this, I believe, to comfort them in a crazy time. Jesus was going to be crucified in just hours, and their worlds would be changed, their faith would be tested. Jesus is teaching them about his calling them friends to comfort and to encourage. And I think we need that this morning as well. In the ancient world, a slave would have been looked at as a useful tool to accomplish an end means, but never a partner in work. A friend was a partner and could relate in a way a slave never could. The same type of distance was normal in that day between teachers or masters and their disciples. But Jesus broke the mold and took the initiative to tell them that he considers them friends. He loved them, and he tried to make that very, very clear in many ways. He is then going to describe different reasons he calls them friends, and I want to highlight two of them. The first element of this friendship that I believe he highlights is how he desires communication with us. He doesn't just boss us around. Our God and King is not distant and disconnected from us. He shares with us his heart and his plan. Jesus said this, "No longer do I call you servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends." Why? "For all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you." God wants us to know him. He wants us to be in the loop, so to speak. He isn't up in heaven, indifferent to what's going on in our lives. He's not too busy, as some think. He's not too important, as others feel. He wants to talk to us. He wants to teach us. He wants to comfort us. He wants us to know that he is near. He wants to communicate to you. This is a huge encouragement and an element of our friendship with God through Jesus Christ that I think most of us can grow in. Listening to God's voice throughout the day and amidst the storms is an area of my relationship with God that I want to grow in. So I have to ask myself, how? How can I grow in listening and communicating with my Heavenly Father and my friend? There are many good resources on this, and I encourage you to look into it. But there are a few obvious answers on how to hear from God. The first seems pretty simple, but it's to regularly read his word. The more we know his promises, the more we read about how he works in our lives, and the more we see the world through his perspective, the more I believe we will hear him speak to us throughout the day. Next, practice listening. I have to do this with my wife. I am not a multitasker. To an extreme, I am not a multitasker. If I'm doing anything else when my wife starts talking to me, if I don't stop what I'm doing and focus on listening, what she says goes in one ear and effortlessly floats out the other. So I have to practice the discipline of active listening. Build into your day times in which you can be still before the Lord and listen. Have a few intentional times throughout your week where you have built in times to listen. And when you know he's trying to say something or when you need to hear from him, stop. Actively listen. I'll say it again. If you are starting to feel he is speaking to you about something, and you'll feel it, stop and listen. Find a place to be quiet and pray and work it out with him. And if you're in trouble and you really desire to hear from the Lord, if you're confused, if you're hurting, if you're lonely, stop, pray, read, and listen. I really enjoy Psalm 62 and think it applies here. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people, and pour your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. This leads me to the obvious observation that he does desire two-way communication. For this I love 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. He cares enough to listen to you whenever. That's an amazing friendship. Jesus has purchased for us permanent access to the Father. So be talking with him during these days when life is kind of crazy. He is a friend who listens, who is always there, and who cares. So, communication is the first element of our friendship with God through his Son. God cares and desires to comfort, to guide, to teach us, and to speak to us. He desires to talk. He desires us to talk with him throughout the day. There's another thing that stood out to me from this passage, and it can be a really confusing thing. But I think looking at it through the lens of friendship, with the proper context of our friendship with Jesus being different than any other friendship, that might help us grasp what Jesus is saying. In John 15, starting in verse 16, it says this: You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Anyone else ever pause and kind of scratch your head at that? He said it a few different times in a few different ways throughout his ministry. What a ridiculous thing to say, Jesus. Whatever I ask for, you'll give me. Sounds more like a relationship with a genie than a friendship. So what is God revealing about his desired relationship with us here? I think it boils down to this simple idea. Friends come through for one another, right? A good friend will give you the shirt off his back. When he sees that you have a need, he cares enough to give you what you need. And with God, he wants us to know that he, like a good friend, will provide for our needs. It's actually something that he has painted all throughout Scripture. He rejoices when we trust him to provide for our needs. And some of us need to hear this morning. He rejoices when we trust him to provide for our needs. And then he joyfully gives, oftentimes in an overabundance sort of manner. A couple of places we see this taught most clearly is in Romans 8:32. Where it states, He, God, who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And again, in Luke 12, starting in verse 22, Luke reminds us not to be anxious about life. Why? Because God cares. He cares for the ravens, and you are more valuable than birds. He cares for the lilies of the field, and you're of more value than them. So God will care for us. He will provide. It says that all the nations seek after what to eat and what to wear and where the money will come from and so on and so forth. But Luke 12 reminds us that your Father knows you need these things and calls us to have faith. Our Father is a friend who will provide. Now, another note here, so we don't twist the idea of getting whatever we ask for from God, or start to doubt Him when we're not getting the things that we're asking for. And this is going to be hard to hear, but I think it's a truth we need to understand. What we need isn't always comfort. I'm going to say it again. What we need isn't always comfort. What we need isn't always financial security. What we need isn't always health, even though this is what we're tempted to pray for most. And I don't think it's a bad thing to pray for those things. But I think Jesus is attempting to direct our prayers when he says that he chose us and appointed us to bear fruit, and fruit that will abide. So how does this context help us understand what we are to ask for and know that God will provide? Well, we must ask this question. What is the fruit he has appointed us to bear that he then promises he will provide when we ask for it? Right? Doesn't that make sense in the context? What abiding fruit has he appointed us to bear that he then promises he will provide when we ask for it? And I think the simple answer is the fruit of the Spirit. Instead of just praying for health, which he may or may not grant, maybe we should also be praying for the joy and strength that he offers amidst any physical sufferings. I believe that is something he will provide. Instead of asking for financial securities, maybe we should be asking for peace amidst particularly trying times. And I believe that is something he will provide. Instead of asking for our problems to disappear, maybe we should ask for the long suffering and the kindness to let his light shine through persecutions and difficulties. I believe that is something he will provide. Do you see what I'm saying? Our God cares, and he will provide the best for us. He is a perfect friend. In fact, when we go back to the beginning of this passage, this caring for our needs that a friend should do is modeled perfectly by Jesus Christ. Greater love has no one than this, than a man should lay down his life for his friend. And God did provide for our biggest need through Jesus on the cross, giving us eternal life by grace through faith. And we should all say, thank you, God. Thank you. Now, let's transition to the command that flows from this incredible reality of our friendship with God. And to introduce this, I want to go back to another kind of weird thing that Jesus says. In verse 14, he says this, you are my friends if you do what I command. Now, that's not a normal thing that friends say to each other. And here again, we notice this unique friendship that we have with God through Jesus. He is still our Lord. He is still our master, needing to be obeyed. But he is also graciously opening up the door for us to be friends. But we need to remember in this friendship, he is still master, and he commands us. And his commandments in this passage are to love one another. This command is at the beginning of the passage and at the end of the passage, and it has been scattered all throughout his teaching at the end of his life. It was so important to him. It is something he really cares that his disciples would understand. It seems like a simple command, love one another. But when we put it in the context of what Jesus has been saying about how he has modeled friendship for us, we see it is actually a little more difficult to live out. Simply put, with the two characteristics we already talked about, Jesus is calling us to communicate with and care for one another. to be the giver in our relationships, even to the point of laying down our rights and our lives for each other. Because that, after all, is what he did for us. That's what he modeled. And he is commanding us to love one another as he loved us. He was numbered with the transgressors for us, giving up his heavenly rights. He emptied himself for us and went to the cross, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, for us, giving up his very life. This is the brotherly loving kindness he showed to us, and he wants us to do that toward one another. So, the application of today's message is really easy. Be a perfect friend to those around you. Really easy, right? But more seriously, this is a time to really check ourselves in the body of Christ. Are we communicating with one another well? God has given us an amazing gift, a family to belong to, and he wants us to know one another. He wants intentional communication to be happening. That's why I'm so glad that we are going to be getting together again soon. Kind of. Give each other some life updates, however big, however small. Talk to one another and practice active listening with one another. If there are needs that come up, care for one another. Communicating and caring are two ways in which we can live out and obey Jesus' command to love one another as he loved us. And just a side note, living out this is one of the best forms of evangelism today. They will know we are Christians by our love. So let's lean into these relationships, and I believe as people see it, they will want it, which will ultimately draw them to him, because he is the model and the source of this kind of love that we are after together. Application number two. I hope you take to heart, and I hope you're comforted today as you cherish this amazing gift of being a friend of God through Jesus Christ. Pray, study his word, listen, trust and obey. He is a perfect friend who listens to us. He is always present with us. He is working for our good and will provide what's best for us. He truly cares. This is a friendship worth cherishing and embracing, especially in this time with so many various trials and uncertainties. As I said in the beginning, who knows when things will settle or what the new normal will look like or how big the fallout from all of this will be. But this I do know, we have a friend in Jesus, and that is something that can bring joy and peace and hope to us today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for you sending your son to this earth to teach and to be numbered with us. God, what an amazing thing that you would love us so much, that you would become part of creation, that you would experience all the hurts that we feel, and that you would experience the temptations and that ultimately you have sent your son to show us the amazing, incredible extent of your love for us. And you have modeled this amazing friendship, this relationship that you desire to have with us. And so we thank you, and we want to lean into our relationship with you and know that you are our God, Creator God, that you are the risen Savior, that you are the reigning King. And we want to treat you as such with joy and thanksgiving and honor and glory and praise. But God, we also want to know and embrace today that you are simply our friend as well, that you desire communication with us, that you care for us and are willing to provide. You have promised that you will provide, and so we thank you for that, and we want to lean into that during this time. And God, we also want to live it out. I pray that your love for us will change our hearts and draw us into love with one another, love that communicates, that shares, that is open, that cares, provides for one another, God. This is a picture of the church, because this is a picture of your love for us, and we want to live that out. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.